Accession number 731.
Mr. Wallace, Reel 1. Well, Mr. Wallace, tell me a bit about your family and your home, where you came from, and your years before you went into the Navy.
Well, when my father died, I lived with my grandfather and grandmother for a long time. I can't say just how long.
Where was that?
That was in Ireland, in Castle Bellingham. That's about 4 miles north of Dundalk, where the trouble is now.
Yes.
And then I went with my mother and stepfather. I went to Dundalk. I went with them to Liverpool. Well, when we went to Liverpool, I went to school until I was 14.
Mm.
When I left school, I got a messenger's job, called chasing all over the place.
Mm.
And then there was an advert in the paper, a page boy required, at a hotel in Ball Street, Liverpool. I applied for that job and I went in there. I think I was in there for about 9 months. And then the Dido and Juno came to Liverpool and the Navy got me. I was Navy mad. I want to go in the Navy. I want to go in the Navy.
Tell me a little bit more about your family. Brothers and sisters?
Well, I had in my... I had two brothers and two sisters. One sister had been out on New Year's Day. She'd been out somewhere. She came in, went in front of the fire, and she was ablaze, and she was burned to death. Another sister went to school. She was at school in Liverpool, and she was ill. She was taken ill at school, and she was dead before noon. That's the two sisters. One brother, the eldest, the one next to me, the brother next to me, he died very young. That left one brother left, and he was, like me, he wanted to get away. He joined the army, and he'd done quite a long time in India, in the army in India.
Why were you so keen to get away from home?
Well, because the stepfather.
Yes.
The stepfather had no room for us at all. He hated the sight of us. Well, then he had...
What kind of fellow was he?
Oh, great, big, rough, navvy.
Yeah. And how did he treat the boys?
Well, he always found fault. And we could never do anything right. But his own son... He had a son and daughter from his first marriage, and he treated them all right. But his son from the first marriage, my stepbrother, and I, him and I, were the same as, well, we were much thicker than blood brothers. I joined the Navy. When he found out I joined the Navy, a fortnight afterwards, he's on board the ship with us.
Mm.
Well, he didn't like it. He didn't like the Navy. And the first chance he got, he deserted. And when he deserted, he went in the Merchant Navy. And he was a quartermaster in the Merchant Navy. And he was in a ship called the Megantic, I think. And she was the ship that was taken Dr. Crippen for after he'd killed his wife.
How was the family off for money? Did your stepfather always have a job?
No. He just done his work. He was the same as the ordinary workman in England today. When they get their money, it all goes in beer.
Was the fam- were the children ever short of
food or clothes? No, we were never short of food, no. Mm-hmm. No, we were never short of food. No, I must give them a stew there. Mm-hmm. We always had our food. And we always were always well clothed.
Mm-hmm. Well, once you'd been smitten by the Navy bug...
Once I was smitten by the Navy, I wanted to go in the Navy.
What did you do about it?
Oh, I went down to join my pal... And I said, I'm going to join the Navy, Bill. Oh, he said, all right, so will I. And we went down. Well, he was old enough. He was a little bit older than I was. But when I told the Sergeant Major, the recruiting officer, when he asked me how old I was, I said, 14 and 8 months. Oh, he said, no. He said, you come back tomorrow morning. He said, you'll be 15 and 8 months then. Well, I went back. And that carried on. I carried on at that age. Right until I was just before I was 65. And I was in a pub in Paddington then, in the Ivy Tavern. And I had a letter from the Labour Exchange. Will you please come and see me at your convenience? Don't queue up. Present this letter to one of my assistants. Mm. Well, I went round to Praed Street to the Labour Exchange, and I went in, and somebody beckoned to sit down. You're on the queue. I said, no. I handed this letter to him. He got up, away he went, and then that door opened. Mr. Wallace, come this way. So I went in the office of the governor. He said, I've got some very good news for you, Mr. Wallace. He said, he offered me a cigarette. He said, you're 65 on 31st of October. I said, yes, sir. He said, you're not. He says, you're 64.
So they found you out?
Because previous to that,
yeah.
I had a letter.
Could you tell me a bit more about what happened to you when you went to the recruiting office? You were met by a Marine sergeant.
Yes.
Did he give you any information about the Navy? What sort of reception did you get
there? Oh, no, he didn't tell. He said, you're just the lads we want to fight the Germans. Well, I went back the following day, and that night I was sent to the reserve ship in Liverpool, the Eagle. From there... The following day, I'm taken down to the docks with several others and put on board a ship called the Kenmare.
How do you spell that?
K-E-N-M-A-R-E. There were two ships, Kenmare and Glengariff, and they used to run from Liverpool to Cork. Well, on our way into Queenstown, on our way up to Cork, they stopped, and there's a boat came from the Black Prince and picked us up, took us on board the ship, Black Prince.
What were your first impressions of the Black Prince?
Oh, shocking. First of all, as soon as you got on board, bathroom. Take off everything. Take off all your private clothes. They're bundled up and sent home. And they fit you out in temporary uniform. And the following day you're fitted out with the uniform kit. But if I'd have got out of the Navy then, you know, in the first week or so, I would have deserted.
Why?
Because it was so strict.
Give me some examples.
You weren't allowed to walk. You had to run all the time, and the instructors, POs they were, petty officers, they had pieces of rope end about that end and said, come on. We used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, latch your hammock up, have a cup of cocoa, and then fall in. And at 5:30 in the morning, you would go over the masthead. You were lined up, there's the ship's side, there's the rigging. You go up that way and then get on the rigging. I said, stand by, Go! And as you're rushing, he's behind you all the time. And you've only got knickers on, you know. And you had to go up one way and down the other. Everything you had to do at the double.
How did you find going over the masthead first time?
Oh, very, very nervous. Very, very nervous. But afterwards, during the leisure time, you were allowed to climb anywhere you liked. So we were always climbing over the mast. Always climbing over the masthead then.
Tell me about the way the ship was organised into messes for the boys.
Yes. Well, the messes were all... There was a mess table here, and a long stool there, and then another one there. All right, the dinners used to come down, they go out on the end of the table. The cooks of the mess, there was two every day, went up to the galley and brought down this big dish. There was about, say, 20 in the mess. The dinners were put out. Well, when you came in the mess, you sat here. The other fellow sat there. That's the end of the table. Next time, when two more came in that mess, you moved up one. So eventually you got to the top. But when the dinners were put out, they were all put out, and you stood up with the dinner in front of you. And the instructor came out, the PO instructor, he said, "Everything all right? Everything all right? Everything all right?" Well, the big dinners used to always go up that end.
That was to the senior boys?
To the senior boys. Well, at times, the PO would come down and say, "You're sitting down, see? No, you're standing up by your stool. All right. Number 29 mess, inboard turn." So you turned, as the ship was there, you were here, you turned in. Quick march. This end marched round there, and that end marched round there. So the two kids at the bottom here were at that end of the table where the big dinners were. But the bloke there, "You touch that bloody dinner." You weren't allowed to blooming well touch it if you touched it. You had to pass it up to him, you had to pass it down to him when the instructor had gone.
How many meals a day did you have, and what sort of food?
Well, we had cocoa in the morning. Cocoa. That's what they called it. But it was very, very weak. Because the POs there, they had their wives ashore. They were all blokes. They had their wives ashore. And they took what they could get. I mean, it was all a wangle. They took meat and everything else ashore. So we had to go short. But we had breakfast. Well, I just can't say what it was now. It was very, very... Then you had breakfast, you had dinner, you had tea. And I don't think we ever had any supper. But we had a... When the provisions used to come alongside, they had to be carried on board by the ship's staff. But there was always volunteers. As a matter of fact, see this? That meant a clique. I belonged to a clique. There were six others. And we used to go down the gangway and hump sacks of bread and sides of meat and everything up. And when we'd done that, we used to get half a loaf each. So we'd have to... The loaves were a kind of a nail shape, and you broke them like that. And you used to get half a loaf for your service in bringing them up. Now, for dinner, twice a week you used to get plum duff. That was on Sundays and Thursdays. Well, on Saturday night, the cook of the mess went along and got the flour and the raisins. And he come there, and he had to bake that and put it into a bag. Of course, there was very little raisins. Tuesday and Friday, we used to get sea pie.
What was that?
That was a pie, a meat pie. But don't forget, the kids had to make it. And they had to roll out the flour to put on it. There was nothing like it is in the Navy today. There's cooks to do everything. But believe it or not, it was very, very rough. Well, I would have deserted, but somebody said, well, if you desert, he said, as soon as you go home, the police will be at the door half an hour afterwards, and you'll be locked up and you'll go to jail, and then you'll still have to carry on. So I just got it in my head, well, I've done it now, and I've got to make the best of it. And I did do, and I think I'd done it very, very successfully.
Now, once you'd settled...